Halloween is just not a big holiday.
I love Halloween. I will be passing candy out, per usual. That's about it. I want to be a ghost. I want to be, like, a legit ghost.
With the sheet and the eyes?
Or no.
Yeah, me too! Oh.
Well, there will be a sheet, but I want, like, gauze over me, and I want to do, like, my whole face fucked up. Like, I want to be, like, a ghost.
And you need to do the ectoplasm that, like, they used to do in the old vintage photos, and it turned out to be a ruse. There was this woman. No? You don't?
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. Well, ectoplasm, it's basically a cloth that you can have come out of your mouth and look like a demon or something.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I just want to be, like, spooky and scare some kids. It is a crazy thing that we do, though. That's insane. Go to strangers' house and take candy from them? What?
Oh my gosh. You could have so much fun with that if you really wanted to. Not hurt people, I mean, but like leave creepy messages. And no one would know which house it came from.
Gosh, Anna. You're too excited.
I'm watching you. Never sleep.
Oh, you're terrifying. I just want to be like my mom with full-size candy bars.
You should give... Oh, well, no. That's not really quite the target audience. I was about to say you should give, like, something weird, stickers or pins or something.
The kids will be like, what the hell? What is this shit?
But they'd start listening, and we'd get so many parent complaints. They're like,
why are you talking about the devil's triangle? My children are listening. You're listening to Something Weird. I'm Brooke, and here is our co-host, Anna.
Hi, everyone. Here you'll find semi-regular dialogue on all things paranormal, or even just a little bit weird. We are lifelong friends who have had an affinity for the strange since we first met on Beardsley Avenue. And now, countries apart, we're here to explore these phenomena with you.
It's beautiful. So each week, one of us will dig into a paranormal tale as we ponder the question, do we want to believe? It's my turn. Ill-prepared and questionable, but let's dig in. So it's no surprise to you, Anna, that I love a good cemetery.
Oh, yeah. No surprise.
Love them.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. We've gone to some. We went to my favorite one in Boston.
I remember.
I don't know. There's something about them. It's peaceful. And I don't mean in like an irreverent or like disrespectful way. Like I just find them to be fascinating and beautiful places that just like feel different. So I love them. People think that I'm weird, that I like to visit them, especially like on trips. I like to find good ones. It's just what I do.
They house huge parts of history. I love my dad's graveyard.
Yeah.
It's nothing fancy, but it's just like tucked away in this
it's so peaceful.
Wooded little area. I've seen a bunny out there. Aww. I mean, there are some that look like they suck, like I wouldn't want to go to them, but a good cemetery is something to be admired.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy them. There are some really nice ones in Salt Lake City. There are some that suck. There's actually one very close to our house that whenever we pass by it, I tell Zach, don't ever put me in a place like that. Because it's just like right in the middle of like busy streets and there's no blockage. It's literally like on the corner of the street, there is a marker of a grave. And she's like, what? That's weird. There's nothing. There's no separation. I don't know. It just... Anyway, so there are some bad ones, but there are also some really beautiful ones when you get up into, like, if we're being honest, the rich people areas that are, like, up onto mm-hmm. the hills. Really beautiful cemeteries. And one of which, the most kind of, like, prominent one, of course, is the Salt Lake City Cemetery. Among the many tombstone monuments and statues that you would find in the Salt Lake City Cemetery, there is a quite unusual headstone that has an inscription that has captured a lot of people's attention over the years. And it reads, Lily E. Gray, June 6, 1881 to November 14, 1958. And underneath, Victim of the Beast 666.
What?
And this, of course, being a reference to the Antichrist from the Bible's book of Revelations. Isn't that weird?
For so many reasons. And particularly just because I just finished Under the Banner of Heaven, John Krakauer, for anyone who doesn't know,
a great read.
Goes over the history of Mormonism, including all of the wild beliefs. I'm not really going to go too much more into it, but like, I am I wrong in assuming that that cemetery is probably
predominantly Mormon? No, I wouldn't say that you're wrong, but it's not all. And actually, surprisingly, going through this, it doesn't appear that this has any specific tie to Mormonism, but definitely a religious tie. It's just kind of a big question mark.
I want to know, though, like, did she ask for that to be on her grave? Where did this originate?
Right?
And, like, why?
And why? And that's the big question, is why?
And who allowed it? Like, who is the grave maker who was like...
Who was engraving that? That was like, this sounds good.
This hardcore.
Good. Yep. Good decision.
Some of my best work.
So again, her headstone reads, Victim of the Beast 666. And if you're unfamiliar, in the book of Revelation, it reads, And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horn like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon, as he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, aka 666. So probably the most complicated way of saying, someday somebody's going to show up, there's going to be a mark on his head, and his number will be 666.
Yeah, he's also going to speak like a dragon, which...
Yes.
How do you speak like a dragon?
So, watch out. But that, of course, being the biblical description of the Antichrist. Why on earth do we have sweet Lily Gray as her inscription, Victim of the Beast 666? This particular plot is on the northeastern side of the cemetery, and it attracts all sorts of people. People actually will come and visit as part of, like, ghost tours or, like, paranormal tours around the city. So it's definitely an attraction, and I've heard about this. Like, I've heard of the Lily Gray case, which is obviously why I looked into it. So according to her birth certificate, she died of natural causes. Nothing special, nothing interesting. So we're just left with this big question of why on earth does she have a headstone like that?
Yeah, really. Not even like mean woman or shameful whore or something like that. Because I would kind of honestly not be surprised if someone did something like that. Like, this is so specific.
Yeah, it's when I first heard about this and saw the picture of it, it was like, okay, clearly someone, like a loved one of hers, is trying to send a message. Like a loved one of hers is trying to maybe protect her legacy or protect her name. I don't know. It just, like, maybe there's something about her.
Like,
or
she
her
did
death.
Something?
Maybe.
And they're like, oh, well, blame it on the beast.
Yeah. Or that loved one did something to her and is trying to cover up whatever they did by blaming it on the beast.
Yeah, maybe. There's just not much to work with here.
No, there really isn't. And I'm not going to give you much more. Like I said, this is a short and sweet with not a lot of information. I wanted to look into this and I wanted to understand who this person was. It's like there's got to be something out there about who she was and why on earth she has this headstone. It's pretty limited. But there have been some awesome people that have dug into Utah State Archives and tried to piece together her life. People of like the Utah Historical Society and other just like everyday people that want to understand have gone through the archives and did their best to put a timeline together. So tip of the hat to you researchers that did this, because I did none of the work. I'm just going to share it with you.
Bless your souls.
Honestly. Okay, so we'll just kind of take through the timeline that exists of, again, Lily Gray. In terms of her early life, who is this person? Well, very little is known about who she was prior to moving to Utah in about the year 1950. They were able to track down her death certificate, which indicates that she was born in Canada to Wilmer and Francis Gray on June 4th, 1880. Mind you, her headstone actually reads something different. It says that she was born June 6, 1881, but her death certificate says that she was born June 4th, 1880. Why? Not sure. Significant? Who knows? But it's different.
Big shrug.
Big shrug.
I was someone like me taking the notes that day. They're like, she was born-ish then.
At some point, she was born.
Yeah.
Which is true. So by taking the information from her death certificate regarding her birth, they put the parents' names together and started kind of creating this very large family tree. Side note, if you're unfamiliar, Utah in particular and the LDS Church is super into genealogy. They actually have a family history museum that has like a shit ton of family records. And they actually sold all of their information to Ancestry.com, which is headquartered here. So all of those like weird family tree search engines that we have now, it's because of the LDS. Just
yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of branches overlapping too, because there's that.
Things go a little messy in Utah.
Wiggly branches.
That's for sure. Anywho, that's a side note. So they were able to kind of create her tree. They found out that her family may have immigrated to the United States, where they first showed up in Michigan in 1900 and 1910 during a federal census. And there's probably a pretty significant story of her life and her family and all of the background, but we don't have any of it. Really, all we have is the point in her life where she got married, at least one of her marriages, and that was to Elmer Gray. Enter Elmer Gray. So the future husband of Lily Gray led quite the life of crime prior to moving and eventually settling down in Utah. According to his Utah State Prison Commitment Registry, I guess is a thing, from 1937, he had a prior record from Nebraska. He also had a prior record with the Missouri State Prison, also the Oklahoma State Prison, and the Colorado State Prison. Elmer was sentenced to 1 to 20 years for crime of burglary in the second degree on August 16, 1937, when he was 56 years old. Yeah.
What? Wait, 1 to 20?
1 to 20, yes, because
okay.
Justice. According to records, he would end up serving 11 years, although he did have many applications for pardons or parole. I think the terminology has changed, but he put in a number of applications and was denied multiple times. Almost every single year of his incarceration, he was denied. Eventually, in 1948, in July, he was released. So for whatever reason, he made a case strong enough that he was released early. So he ended up serving 11 of the 1 to 20 years that he was sentenced.
I mean, that's pretty good. That's half of a very loose sentence. So yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's more than what most violent criminals, or I guess I should say white violent criminals, serve these days.
And for burglary, too. Yeah. Like, what was he burgling?
And what does burglary in the second degree mean?
I don't know. Up. I didn't even know that he, like, only took half.
Right?
The bread. I don't know.
Oh, second degree is any unarmed or nonviolent burglary. So that's, like, pretty low-key. He just stole
He just, like, went into someone's garage and, like, grabbed a couple tools.
I get it, Elmer.
11 years.
He's just trying to live. No, he sounds like a terrible person. But anyway, so jump forward. He's released from prison. That's pretty much all that we know. In some way, over the years, Lily and Elmer were brought together. No idea what brought them together, but they got married. And they got married in Elko, Nevada, which is just like east of here, on July 10th, 1952. So that's like 4 or 5 years after he was released from prison.
So he was like his 60s. In his 60s.
He was 71.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, my math was off.
So he was sentenced when he was 56 and then served 11 years. Okay.
Dang. Still got it.
Yeah. The actual marriage record is not online and is probably somewhere in Nevada's Elko County, so there's not like a lot of information about what took place. But we do know that Lily was 72 and we assume was probably married before they got married. And Elmer was 71 years old, and again, less than 5 years out of prison before they got married.
That just seems, I mean, like, it's nice, I guess. You don't, like, not fall in love when you get older, but it almost kind of seemed, I don't know, maybe tax break stuff, who knows? Because I just haven't thought that far ahead.
Yeah, well, and also, I mean, I guess that kind of goes into the question of, like, who was Elmer? And what was their relationship? Because, I mean, we would assume that he made the headstone. Or he decided.
Oh. Right?
So,
yeah.
You kind of have to be wondering, okay, like, who is this guy? Again, based off of records, it's believed that Elmer and Lily lived out their days in Salt Lake City. They were able to track down a number of different addresses that tied to similar names all around the city. It could have very well been different Elmer and Lily's, but for the most part, we can assume that they lived here in the city. Now we jump forward again to her death. There's all sorts of theories and speculation, but according to her death certificate, Lily died of natural causes on November 14th, 1958, after spending about a week in the hospital. So they really weren't married for very long, only 6 years before she died.
You know, she's 78. Okay.
Yeah. So she's older, but again, we have no idea what even happened in those 6 years that they were together.
Yeah.
And again, according to the death certificate, it appears that the couple was living somewhere in Salt Lake City, either on Pacific Avenue or in the Poplar Grove area. They were also able to find that Elmer's life came to an end while he was living in the Snyder Rest Home a few years later, so probably in the early 60s. Records show that he died from a stroke, likely due to Parkinson's disease. His death certificate overall is less informative, without any names of parents, but it did include Lily as his wife.
Okay. Well, they were for sure together.
Yeah. So pretty much all that we know from all of the research that people have done is that these two people came together in a later phase in life, got married, and then died pretty shortly after. Ultimately, nothing came of the research in terms of, like, why on earth would a headstone like that exist and what happened to Lily. So, of course, theories. People are just making stuff up about what could have possibly happened to her and how maybe some of the records are wrong. I'll take you through a couple of them.
Okay.
One of them suggests that Lily was involved with Aleister Crowley's following in Salt Lake City. Do you know who Aleister Crowley is?
Should I? Was this in the book that I just read?
I didn't know, but just the way it was written about was very like, yeah, it was Aleister Crowley. And it's like, I don't know who that is. Apparently, Crowley was a notorious cult member in the first part of the 20th century. It's been said that Crowley's referred to himself as the Beast 666, which then gives way to the theory that Lily had been victimized by him, and so according to her husband or other survivors, that was the cause of her ultimate doom. However, according to the records, Lily didn't move to Salt Lake City until 1950, and Crowley died in 1947, so that would have made it impossible for the two to actually cross paths and meet while in Salt Lake City. This is not an occult thing.
And even if it, I mean, do you know of anyone who has been murdered and then they're like, victim of John Wayne Gacy?
Yeah,
or,
like,
that's not how you honor someone.
Yeah, I don't know.
Loving wife and mother and stabbed in the chest by.
I mean, I guess it could have been like Elmer's plea to try to get justice of like, I'll never forget that it was this person, right? That it was Crowley that, I don't know. So he like put it on the headstone to make sure that everyone knew that like Crowley killed her, but no one believed him. I don't know.
It turns out though that the Beast 666 is a little bit broad. So
yeah,
probably could have done better there.
Probably could have just used his name, but whatever. Another theory, and this one's kind of fun. People propose that Lily was actually a victim of a car wreck on Highway 666, aka the Devil's Highway, which, of course, we know stretches through parts of Utah. Again, the highway is famous not only for its name, which has later been changed, of course, but mostly for the high rate of fatal accidents and all sorts of spooky things that take place on that highway.
Such a good highway.
So good. During the period of time, Lily reportedly lived in Utah, so she could have maybe been traveling on that highway, and maybe she did die on the highway. Who knows? But there's no actual evidence to support that.
Okay, and a beast ate her?
I don't know.
Or maybe her nickname was the Beast? I don't know.
Well, remember, like, all of those different entities that would kind of, like, appear...
Yeah.
And, like, scare people or chase them off the road. So maybe...
The car.
Yeah. The Cadillac. I don't know. Maybe Elmer, like, took that as some Antichrist devil stuff.
Okay. I like the reach to
I like the connection,
one of our favorite highways.
But it doesn't make any sense. Perhaps a more plausible theory is that this just had to do with Elmer. So Elmer may have had mental issues to some degree. Given his criminal record, there were records of Ann Elmer Gray, who had been arrested in Ogden for stealing an umbrella.
Again.
So that could have been the burglary.
Basic.
Maybe. But searches of vital records have uncovered multiple Elmer Grays living in Utah at the time. So there's really no way to tell if it was the Elmer Gray. However, they did find an Elmer Gray's application for criminal pardon in Utah that hinted at some sort of anti-government belief system. Could it have been possible that Elmer blamed the government for Lily's death and was referring to actually the government when saying a victim of the Beast 666.
Okay. So, I can see that being
like maybe he was a paranoid schizophrenic and just like came up with something. Maybe, but still there's zero evidence to any of these theories. They're just ideas. Overall, there's no information or there's not enough information that's available to come to any sort of conclusion about Lily's case. But there are a number of dedicated people that are truly trying to figure out who this person was and are often asking those that may have been connected to her to come forward and share information. In 2013, the Deseret News interviewed a researcher at the Utah Historical Society who explained they have not been able to find out why the strange inscription on Lily's gravestone exists.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
Cool. Good interview.
Breaking news. We don't know shit.
Yes. We tried, but we came up with nothing.
Another episode with something weird.
Honestly. However, the investigation is not closed. People are still looking into this, and they're still trying to find out who Lily is. So maybe in the future, there will be updates or new potential leads to uncover who was Lily and what the hell is the connection to the Beast 666. And that's it.
So...
Right? Like, why does this exist? Why is this a thing?
Watch, it's just like a joke. They were actually just a really playful, like, delightful old couple. Yeah. And they were like, you know what?
Let's fuck with people for decades. That'd be awesome. I would respect them for that. They got me.
Well, that's the thing, too. There would be, I mean, like, unless you found some notes or letters between them. I mean, everything is on record now. Everything. Mm-hmm. I feel like so much mystery will be, especially down the line, if the world is still functioning, so many of the mysteries that we have right now will be eventually explained. Mm-hmm. But something like that, if you've got nothing physical to prove anything,
no,
you're just...
You're never gonna know.
I'm just going to say that they were jokesters.
I think that's great. I'm gonna... get onto that bandwagon.
If you were going to have something weird or just a strange saying on your gravestone, what would you have it say?
I don't know. Well, you know what I want on my gravestone or headstone or whatever it's called. I really just want the like old school skull with wings and just says, "Here lies Brooke Healy." That's it. Like the...
I actually didn't know that.
I told you that. We had a whole conversation with Nina when we were in Boston. Like, I want that, like, 18th... Or what would that be? Yeah, like, 18th century style
headstone. Yeah. That makes sense.
I don't know.
I mean, I forgot, but I know now.
It's cool.
The world knows.
What would you do?
Well... I can think of so many just stupid things that I could put on it and just hope that one day someone was like, who was this person?
What happened?
Like, you could do, you give me Pac-Man fever. I've had a very long day. I'm very small and I have no money. So you can imagine the kind of stress I'm under. Like a shrug emoji? I don't know.
Wait, what's the Rangoon mother?
Mother. A Rangoon. Yeah. Gosh, I actually, like, I don't really want to be buried. Like, I don't really care what happens with my body after I'm dead. So I don't think that, like, I need a gravestone. But, I don't know, rip. That works.
Just rip. Yeah, but, I mean, that's it. I think it's entertaining. I love that people care and like really want to find out.
Yeah.
I would love if this was just some practical joke of a cute old couple that wanted to just mess with people. And I'm going to say that that's what it was.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would like it to be. And there's no evidence pointing towards literally anything else.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Elmer, Lily.
Elmer and Lily.
Romance for the ages.
And if you're ever in Salt Lake City, just pop by the Salt Lake City Cemetery and take a look for yourself. I should probably go do that.
At least grab a photo.
Yeah, for sure.
An inscription. Maybe it'll shift overnight and like change into some prophecy.
No, it's just gonna be like, "I'm tired of this, Grandpa."
That's too damn bad.
That's what Zach and I should have next to each other. I'll have whoever dies first gets "I'm tired of this, Grandpa." That'd be so good.
"I'm tired of this, Grandpa."
That's too damn bad.
Oh, I'm gonna suggest
we should have
that.
Made a gravestone for JoJo.
He literally couldn't take it anymore. Oof. It was a rough day. Lifting up that castle and he didn't move. Oh, poor guy.
Oh, Jojo. Jojo.
Good hamster. Screaming in the middle of the night.
Was he?
He did when he was a baby. That's part of the reason Nicolette gave him to me. She's like, this hamster won't stop screaming.
Wait, what? Okay, I knew that it was Nicolette's at some point, but I thought maybe she just bought it for you as a gift.
No, it was her hamster, and then it wouldn't stop screaming. Because it was a baby.
Oh my god.
So I was like, you're the devil, and I took it.
What? You thought the hamster was the devil?
No, Nicolette's the devil.
Oh.
Because she wouldn't care for her hamster. Well,
but why was it crying?
It was just crying. It was a baby.
Is that a thing?
I don't know, but, like, hamsters are nocturnal, so it would be awake in the middle of the night and, like, crying. It was upset. It was a baby.
I guess I've never thought about that.
It's just like a puppy. I don't know. Maybe there was something wrong with him.
I'm kind of leaning towards that. Maybe I'm wrong. I just never...
He just screamed.
He just had night terrors. Just plagued with fear and miniature hamster demons. God.
Oh, goodness. Well, listeners, I didn't give you much to work with, but still interested to hear what you think. Maybe you have your own theory about what happened to Lily, or maybe you know something. Are you related to the Greys? That'd be so good. Oh, that'd be great. Contact us and let us know. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Something Weird Podcast. And if you have any of your own tales that you'd like to share, whether it's paranormal, spooky, or just plain weird, send them along. We would love to hear those too.
And if you enjoyed this episode, as full of mystery and intrigue as it was, or any of our episodes for that matter, please let us know with a big 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. It makes a huge difference. We love it. And it helps us get the truth out there.
Yep. Well, that brings us to the end, another week down. So thank you Anna for putting up with me and my, I'm not even going to call it a story because it wasn't, but my
insight.
Yes, my insight, my little nugget of information. And thank you all for listening. So until next week,
stay weirdy.